If you will, open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 3. How many of you can admit that we are living into some in some times of real history? You know, some days you get up and you just think, I can't believe what's going on. But you know what? When your heart is centered in the Lord, it don't matter. You just refocus, like what the prophecy went forward today. You just refocus. You have to see it out of the eyes of the Lord. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? I thought it was real cool. He says, all these signs that are coming upon man, he says it's preparing the harvest for me to a greater measure. There are people out there wanting answers. And they can't find it in their 401ks. They can't find it in their CDs. You know what CDs are good for? As long as they're music, it's good to listen to. It's getting to the point where nobody can invest any place or anywhere and be concerned about whether they're going to make a dollar or not. Isn't that true? It just seems bizarre. And so everybody's running scared. They don't know what to do. But do you know what? You and I do know what to do. We need to refocus our understanding that this world, when things get worse and worse, it gives us a greater opportunity to show them that we belong to peace. Peace. Shalom. And the reason that I feel such confidence is because the world's looking for answers and I got it. Yes. How about you? Yes. You got it. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Lord is great. He's doing wonderful things. Now, it doesn't mean everything in my life's going perfect, but I'll tell you what, I can sure have a lot more peace no matter what goes on around me. Yeah. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, and their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is some verses referring to the results of a godless society. They literally begin to destroy each other. They promise wonderful words, but they really don't have the answer. We're trying to vote for the right person to undo this mess, and there is no such thing. The right person for the job is a believer who's full of the heart of God. Those are the ones to vote for. Now, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but my candidate's all right. His name's me. And I got God in my heart. Praise the Lord. And, you know, these verses are very interesting because when you really look at them, you begin to realize that this is what God was after, this kind of man. And you get to thinking about, my gosh, God, You know, this is a society apart from God, and yet you go after them. And the Lord reminded me that many people have fallen into the deception of the enemy, who literally at one time was himself in the presence of the Lord. And his anger and his bitterness grows more and more as each day goes by against God. And that is so sad. Now, we brought out that there were five things that must surely be believed among us. The one we covered is, are there many faiths to God? And we said, no. We do not believe there are many faiths to God. And because of this concept, what was birthed in the earth is universalism. And that means that there are many ways to God. Sad part about it is there are many believers who believe this. As long as the principles of Christ are adhered to, they're good people and they will go to heaven. Now, I haven't seen hell, nor that side of it, but I imagine there are a lot of shocked people there right now. I heard this joke one time, and I've shared it with you in the past, how three ministers went to hell. One was a Baptist preacher, one was Pentecostal Holiness, and the other was a Rhema graduate. The Pentecostal said, I knew I'd end up here. I couldn't get righteous enough. I knew this is where I'd end up. The Baptist, he's really confused because he thought once saved, always saved. And the Rhema graduate said, I don't believe I received this. Too many people don't understand the consequences that a godless society generates. It generates an attitude against God. And the thing that amazes me is the love of God for this godless society. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care how long you live as a believer. I don't think any of you will really fully understand the love of God in your lifetime. That's true. I've been touched by the love of God at one time supernaturally when I was first saved. And when Dave Roberson went on this long fast, I didn't have the fast to go to, but he did. And he said he was touched by the love of God. It overwhelmed him. And I kind of chuckled because I never went on a long fast. It just hit me one day. Too bad Dave had to pay the price for the same thing I got. Don't tell him I said that. Anyway. But I took Mikey when he was a little kid, our oldest boy. I took him to games and stuff like that. And I took him to this one game, and he was on baseball team. And there was this one kid. He reminded me so much of me when I was younger. I was not good at sports. I loved him, but I wasn't very good at him. Kind of like the Seahawks, you know. Oh, that was a slam. Well, Hasselbeck will never hear this one anyway. But my heart was in it. And I never forget sitting in the car, and my heart went out to this little boy. And all of a sudden, this love started to overwhelm me. And it was so overwhelming, I didn't know whether I would survive it or not. And then it lifted. And I didn't know what it was at that time, until Dave had mentioned what he went through when he was touched by the love of God. But you know what that experience did? It opened my eyes up to realize that when you and I are looking through our eyes to what we feel God is, don't be deceived. God's love is not on your level of understanding. Amen. It goes beyond what you can imagine. Yes. And the thing about really yourself growing in love is the more that you grow in love, the more you get out of yourself. Right. The more you get away from the center of what you are and get involved with what people are about. Mm-hmm. How many follow what I'm saying? And that's a very difficult thing to do when our body is ruling. And our body can rule. Now, we talked about these five things that the world is confused about. And one thing that they don't realize is a godless society has no safety against the curse that is at work in this earth. They have no safety at all. And yet, our godless society is adapted to this one fact that a supreme being does exist, and some don't believe it. But even the ones that don't know whether a supreme being exists or not, yet they have this thought in them, because God is so much in control that even the evils of this world He uses to go after man to cause them to come to a genuine repentance. And nothing can be further from the truth. And many of us, as believers, don't even understand there's a curse at work in the earth. And this curse is motivated by our arch enemy by taking advantage of the nature of death that is at present in our physical being. Amen. This song we sang, you know, the Word of God speaks. The reason I love that song so much is it reminds me so much of my prayer time. The times that I sit and I pray and I communicate to God, and sometimes I just get quiet and He speaks back. And the more my prayer life is developed, the more He speaks right out of His Word to me. He doesn't speak so much out of my understanding as much as He speaks right out of my spirit through the Word of God. And it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And you wish that all would experience the God of peace that we know. Amen. Now, you know, most of us look at our faith in such a way. And we've been teaching on Wednesday night faith, and quite a few of you said you're starting to get a lot out of that. But our faith is not the kind of faith that grows to bail us out of things. Our kind of faith develops in us to maturity. And part of that maturity is the love of God. It matures more in our heart. And you know, a lot of times in my life, I come to a place in my life when the fruit of my own tree tells me whether I'm producing life or producing death. Many times I've come to the end of something in my life and I go to God about it, and He'd always bring me back to the fruit of my own choice. And you know, it's so funny how we have a behavior pattern that gets us into something, but we don't do anything about changing our behavior pattern when God speaks to us to remove ourselves from death. Because any time you walk in your flesh, you will produce death. How many of you know that? But when you walk and serve God out of your spirit, every time death comes knocking at your door, you turn it away. Now, we brought out last Sunday, don't call me your pastor if it's just the fact that you come to my church. I'm your pastor by what I can put into you. Are you following me? Because I can't go and live where you live. I can't fight your flesh for you. I can't dictate to the enemy what he can and can't do. But I can sure give you the information so that your faith can grow in the kingdom of God and produce life wherever you go in your life. Now, too many times in the past, the church has had the idea that the pastor comes up for the answer for everything. And that is not true, people. The Word of God I'm destined to give you, but it's you has to come up with the experience of the Word of God. But first of all, you have to be able to receive it. And of course, you know I shared that with you last Sunday, and I don't want to get back into that. But I want us to understand that the love of God is over a godless society. He's reaching out for them, and He wants to help them to remove themselves from the vulnerability of the curse that is at work in the earth. And you find not only in Romans 3, where it talked about this godless society, he goes on to say that God had provided a propitiation for them to escape the authority of the death that's at work in this world, so that you and I can live by a whole new way of living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's been hard on me lately, but the Lord has kind of really put a govern on my mouth. Boy, you don't like getting that way, but you know, sometimes you grow in knowledge and grow in knowledge, but when God faces you in that knowledge, then he puts a governor on you. Mm-hmm. If you're following him. If you're not, you'll continue in the error. But I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me, and I forgot what the conversation centered around. And the Lord spoke to me very clear, and he says, "Is that your faith?" Just sometimes the Lord will speak out of your spirit so clear you'd swear it was almost audible. Well, the conversation I had going was not conducive for the kind of faith that God would give us. And so God asked me, he says, "Is that your faith speaking?" And boy, it shocked me. And I stepped back. And the Lord said, "I've had enough of your freedom of speech. I want it to be start seasoned and ordered by me. I don't care what you see in people. You're going to change the way you talk about them." Amen. Boy, that caught me. After all, I'm the pastor of this church. I dare be the only one to be convicted of this. And you know what? It leads not only to God doing something with your mouth. He also does something with your thinking. And it's real unique, because it seems like you're more restricted the further you go with God. I've had people say, "Ever since I got away from by his word, I feel so much more freedom, much better. It must be a sign." The trouble is, I'd like to meet the same people to say, "Hey, I'd want out too." Because it don't get easier on me. The further I go with the kingdom of God, the harder it is on my flesh. So we brought out five things, that there are many faces to God. No, there isn't. There is a curse at work in the earth. And then number three, life is not flesh only. And that's what a lot of our society does not understand. Life is not flesh only. And the fourth one is, does God use evil to bring judgment on sin to get mankind to repent of their sin in general? And did God already judge sin? Well, we covered the first one, and we're talking about the second one now. There is a curse that is at work in the earth. And I got news for you. Not only that, but in Romans 8, turn over to Romans chapter 8. And go to verse 18. "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption," that is, the redemption of our body. "The groanings we brought out comes when we desire to go beyond where we are in our flesh. Our flesh can put a ceiling on us," and that's what Romans chapter 8 is all about. Yeah. It can neutralize us and cause us not to be victorious as we want to. And most of us as believers, we seem to think that the devil is our problem. And the devil is not our problem. He is a defeated foe. He has been delivered into our generation for us to take control of him and rule over him for the sake of mankind coming into the kingdom of God. And so what he wants to do is get on the bandwagon and see who you give yourself more to. And if you give yourself more to your flesh than your spirit, Satan will capitalize on that, because God said at the fall of Adam and Eve, you will eat flesh, dirt, dust. That's what our bodies are made out. But God said, I have a seed that's going to bring life to your inner man. And he brought it. And to understand this right now, this groaning within ourselves, I'll never forget when the Lord spoke to me. And he said, if you think that groan in that text is something you've attained to, I got news for you. Very few really go to that kind of groaning. And I asked the Lord, well, then why put it in there? And he says, because someone who gets frustrated over their body taken over all the time from their spirituality, then it causes a grief in them, a groaning within them, because they want to be free from the dictates of their body so they can do what is in their spirit. And I got to think, good Lord, how many of us really qualify for that kind of groaning? The Lord said, very few. Because they're usually taken out before that. Our bodies, I'm going to tell you people, you got to get a revelation of the position that your body holds against the kingdom of God. And you think the devil is your number one enemy? It is your body. It has a voice, it has a mind of its own, and it will control you if you let it. That demonic spirit that came into our sanctuary, I saw it with my physical eyes. Victor was there when it happened. And that body came in and started ranting and raving and screaming. And the thing that came out of his mouth was the fact that he knows who belongs to him because they've given themselves over to their physical being. Bing! Light went on. Caused me to go back and look again. Said he could manipulate and control them and do whatever he wanted to do within the framework of what they give to their physical man. Well, thank God he is defeated and he's a liar. How many of you know that? The devil is a liar. Sure, we're physical as well as spiritual, but that doesn't mean he can lord it over us. I don't care what comes out of his mouth. It's all a lie. But what comes out of our hearts is very important to the kingdom of God. Because God, listen people, God is at work within his kingdom to give you victory in your life. How many of you know that? He has come to give you victory. He come to give you life and that more abundantly so you can have victory over your life. So you can start planning and moving forward in spite of what the world says. Because God is with you. The only reason that many of us fall into condemnation is we seem to forget, maybe God went somewhere. Why does he talk about in this passage, Romans 8, and call, no matter what you go through, whether famine, whatever, he goes into all this long exhortation. He says, but I'll tell you what, no matter what you go through, listen, God is not your problem. If he given you Christ, what more would he withhold from you? Nothing. So no matter what you, don't even question whether God's with you or not. Question whether you're with him. So you can get rid of that condemnation. Stand up on your own two feet and have victory in your life. But too many of us fall prey or victim to our body. And we got to stop doing that. And thank God he gave me a revelation, a strong revelation of the position that my body has scripturally over my spirit, and I got to be very careful that that does not happen. There is a curse that is operating in the earth, and he says that creation itself wants to be free from it. And he can't hardly wait for the glorification of the sons of God, because in our glorification we'll be free of the nature of death that is at work within this body. Are you following me? And once we're free of that, and then we manifest before creation itself now, the plant life, the animal kingdom, the mountains, the hills. I'll never forget what Dean was sharing with me. He said when he was in heaven, all of creation communicated with mankind. He talked to a mountain. Creation talks. Amen. We have it in the Old Testament, creation obeying God. Yes. Moses found out why creation would part the Red Sea. Why? Because creation is a response to God. And once we come back, that is telling creation, we've got the nature of death removed us. We got glorified bodies. Glory to God. We'll never have a body that dictates against the kingdom of God ever again. And they'll be happy about it. And the children will lay down with the poisonous ass and have fun. Because the nature of death will not rule. But in the meantime, I have a position in my life. The nature of death cannot rule if my mind is transformed and renewed. Glory to God. Mind renewal starts with the body being presented as a living death. And yet we don't understand that. We don't have an understanding of that. Your physical being, the carnal mind of it, can even talk you out of spiritual life. I'm seeing it now, clearly, because life is not flesh only. How many of you ever heard of the meaning of dying to self? No, really, that statement's kind of a misnomer. But John gave me this little sheet here. The meaning of dying to self. Now, I don't know whether you shared it in the Sunday school class or not. Oh, did you? Well, I'm going to share it with you guys. The meaning of dying to self has to be something as obvious as the fact that I die. I cease to be. I have to step over my body to get on with my life. I am no longer the reason for my existence. I am no longer concerned with my own happiness. How can you be concerned with the happiness of someone who is dead? I am no more. I am no longer in the picture. I am no longer the center of my own little universe. I no longer arrange the world around myself. Go to the place you used to find and insert your name there. Go to the place that you used to find Jan Butler, and you won't find him anymore. He's dead. Come to where you used to find me, and you should find Christ instead, living and caring for others at the expense of himself, like he always did. Now, even though the world has a negative side to it, especially with all the money and everything that's going around. That's enough to get to you. It's enough to really get to you. But the Word of God is very clear that the reason or the purpose of our redemption is so that you and I, being born in a time such as this, we have a place that the world has no idea how great it really is here. You see, the devil would like you to get all frustrated and worked up because of what's happening on the scene. Right. But I got news for you. You should not be moved by that. Right. God, that's just a way that the enemy wants to get. Listen, do you think the enemy is looking to just destroy anyone? He loves to destroy everyone. But he loves the fact that he can create such an atmosphere around the world to distract them from the Word of God. Because that's a bottom line. To distract you from the Word of God and to keep you in a positive position with the work that Christ is doing in the earth. That's all. Never before has our society ever been faced with the fact that both husband and wife have to work. It wasn't like it used to be. The man was the breadwinner, and the woman sat at home. And she could govern and raise the children and the things of the Lord if she had the freedom to do that. Never before has our society gotten on a roller coaster that now is running out of control, and we're caught up in it. And we don't know where it's going to end. And that's why my redemption rights causes me to get right off that roller coaster, stay on solid ground, and I know where I'm going.
Yes.
And that's what God wants. That's where God wants you.
Yes.
One thing that you and I need to practice in our life is, where are we going to go to win something? Have you ever thought about that? Has your focus ever been going someplace for winning? Most of you probably say, well, I hope it works out all right. No, God wants you to be on purpose in your life. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Lord wants His people to be victorious. Do you know you're called king priests?
Yes.
You know you have been designed, you are God's workmanship for the greatest hour that this time period needs for the victory of God in your life. You know what God loves? He loves the fact that when you're out in this dying world and you're functioning in it, and you get the opportunity to witness to a dying world, your wonderful Father. But you know what Satan likes to do? He likes to get you on this roller coaster, get you out there, and he loves it. Satan loves it when you call yourself a Christian and act like a rank sinner. And he loves it when you say, I'm a Christian, and sit there and swear. Because right away, you're judged by them. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. There's a standard the world looks at God, even whether they accept it or not. But they look at you, and they can tell whether or not you are what you say you are. I told you a story about my little thing that I wrote on the back of my car. Jesus is the answer. It was Hot Rod I restored. That's when I was more flesh and spirit. And I got on the freeway, and I was so proud of that little sign on the back of my car. And until I ran into a couple occasions where somebody told me, did Jesus teach you how to drive? And I said, God, I don't know whether to keep this on my car or remove it. And God says, I would remove it for now and wait until you perfect your driving. So I took it off. I never did put it back on. Sometimes we're not good symbols of our walk with God by the way we talk and act and do things. But getting back to this one point, that life is not flesh only, but also spirit. And that's the part mankind doesn't understand, our generation. Our generation is a generation where our spiritual being has the greatest opportunity of all to grow in us, to be the greatest world harvester that there is to come. So that when we come to church and receive instructions from the Word of God, we can take that instruction and apply it in our life. And go out into a world and show them that there is a hope in God that they can trust and rely on. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And every time you get the opportunity, then you preach Christ to them and bring them to the Lord. Somebody said, well, I'd love to bring them to church, but sometimes the church is just way over them. Listen, that's an excuse. What I'm preaching today, if it goes over your head, you've got a spiritual problem. But I'm preaching fact. It's about time we do something with our physical being and put him where he belongs.
Amen.
Out of control. And put our spiritual being back in control. And seek the Holy Spirit daily. And seek an understanding of the Word of God daily. And I'm not saying abandon the whole world. I'm not saying let the world be your misery. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you can also enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can enjoy life too.
Matter of fact, you can enjoy life better if God gets in your heart and you learn how to build relationships with people. If people are always in conflict with people, then take a look at yourself. Don't blame other people. Take a look at yourself. I mean, I got caught up in that trap. What trap? I got caught up. I wanted out of ministry because God's people don't know how to function properly. Wow, where did that put me? Mr. Perfect? And see, it was going to drive me from ministry. Thank God, God rescued me from that stupid thinking. My own righteousness was my own judgment. When you are not thinking sober, you're dominated by your flesh. I wasn't thinking right. Where would I go? I'm glad God never cut me loose. I'd probably go in my backyard and sit at it and probably look the same and not as beautiful as it does now. I'd sit there and look at the backyard and what had happened? The Word of God would start cropping up in my heart and I'd want to go find somebody to preach to and you all ran me off. You'll get that later. Life is not flesh only. There has to be spiritual control. And this position that believers put themselves in, condemnation, because they don't listen to the inward man to do the right thing to begin with. And I'm sorry to get on your case, but I had to get on mine too. The same thing. And so, I want us, in closing, I want us to turn to Isaiah 53 and 54. And I want to share something with you that the Lord shared with me. And I'm going to speak something on you that's positive today. Okay? Would you guys like to hear something positive about you? The Lord told me to tell you this. Are you ready? Every one of you have been destined to be a David.
Amen.
Yep. Have you guys ever thought of that?
Yep.
Every one of you has been destined to be a David. Yes, even you ladies. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, remember the prophet? The Lord said, fill your horn with oil and go.
Yeah.
And so the prophet, he goes to Jesse's house, and he has all these, ladies, control yourself. These good-looking sons. And so the prophet started going before the sons. The Lord kept saying, no, 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 no. They look good. They walked good. They talked good. And Jesse was getting frustrated. He says, man, these are some of the best looking. Listen, anointing doesn't go by appearance. If you don't believe me, take a look at yourself. That included me. If Paul's anointing was predicated on his appearance, he wouldn't fit in ministry today. Because, number one, he didn't know how to talk. His speech was contemptible. Are you following me? And his appearance was worse. Well, if you went through what he went through, you wouldn't look all that great neither. And so people had a hard time with him. But they loved his letters. They said his letters are weighty and meaty, and they put muscles on you. But don't look at the guy that delivers the writing. Well, Paul says, I got news for you. Whether you receive me in appearance or not, I'm the guy that's in the writing. So God could produce. Now, the reason I'm giving you this message is that I don't want you to be discouraged the way things are going in this world. I want you to be encouraged. Because as long as God has a message to a world that is in turmoil, you're the ideal subject for it. In Isaiah 53, the old story about the redemptive work of Christ from
from the mind to the body to the spirit is all clarified in Isaiah 54. And then he jumps in, or Isaiah 53, then he jumps into Isaiah 54. And when the Lord spoke this to me, it shocked me. But he said, Isaiah 54 is not written to the nation of Israel. Isaiah 54 is the benefit of Isaiah 53. And what is Isaiah 54? He says in Isaiah 54, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. In other words, there's going to be a birthing in the earth, and it's not up to those in the earth for the birthing. Amen. You who have not travailed with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear. Now listen what he's saying about our generation, our time period. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, nor be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will not forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your womanhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And he is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. And when I asked the Lord about that verse there, he said that I forsook the nations momentarily by focusing on one nation called Israel. Yeah. That was the moment. But this chapter is dealing directly with the nations in our generation. Lord, when I saw that, I went, whoo, I like the outcome. And the Lord said, that's because of Isaiah 53. Did you know Isaiah 53 was not written for just the Jew? If that was the case, we wouldn't have our redemptive rights right now. Now look at this. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. Why did he say this is like the waters of Noah to me? He was saying, as I ended and I brought judgment and ended that generation that didn't seek me, I have now provided a fresh generation for you. And this is the generation that he looked forward to, not the kind Noah's generation saw. For the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. Who has mercy on you, O you afflicted one, tossed with the tempest and not covered. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies and gates of crystal and all your walls of precious stone. And all your children shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression and you shall not fear and from terror. For it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Glory to God. Read it. Yes, yes, yes. You're blessed. You're blessed. Lonnie, that's not glasses. I got to look through the right glasses. Well, this is your magnifying glass. Whoo.
That's our generation. I thought he was talking to the nation of Israel. And God said, how can I be talking to the nation of Israel when that was the moment that I had forsaken all nations? I exalted to this one nation for the purpose of the whole world discovering me. But I've turned to you a generation. Oh, afflicted, tossed to and fro. Be of good cheer. No weapon formed against you will prosper if you don't want it to. Woo! Makes me want to dance. Makes me want to shout. Oh, that's an unbeliever song. I'm sorry. But I like it. I like that too. Make him wanna shout now. But I ain't gonna live in that garbage can no more. My body isn't gonna tell me how to live for God anymore. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How about you? Joy of the Lord is my strength. How about you? Hey, guess what? I can enjoy a Seahawks game and still be on fire for God. Hey, I can go fishing, Billy, and still be on fire for God. Bob, I can still go elk hunting, still be on fire for God. Yep. Some of us turn back into the world and we get depressed. Well, who told you to go there? You're in the world. Are you guys in the world? I hope you think you are. Well, that doesn't mean the kingdom of God can't be number one. You can have both. Well, he gave us this generation for success. That's our generation, people. And you know what? As long as that generation stands, I don't care what Wall Street does. Matter of fact, I almost feel like getting in a plane, write me some nice signs, and go down and start picketing Wall Street. Picketing them for Jesus. Hey, you guys want to get out of your economic pressure? Turn to Jesus. Walk the street. The only thing is, the world would see that and think I was a kook like every other person that tries that kind of stuff. But I serve a God who puts a sound mind in me. Amen. One who puts a hope in me that I can look forward to. And one who can tell me how to die to self. Did you guys get something here today? You see, you guys are blessed. Amen. You guys are blessed. Amen. You guys are blessed. Yep. You guys are blessed. Yep. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he given us a message of reconciliation. He's not imputing the world's trespasses against him. They don't know how to do anything else. But you and I, we got the message of reconciliation. God ain't mad at you no more. That's right. We got a place where you can go and the enemy and your flesh can't rule. Stand up, everybody. Uh-oh. Sit down, everybody. Ushers, come forward and get the communion elements. Some of you might have an attitude with me today, and so you might have to take communion. I don't think there's a one person here has an attitude with me, because you can't help but say victory is in our life. Amen. Amen. Victory is in our life. I don't care how you look at it. God has given us a wonderful testament, last will and testament. Him and Abraham left us some goods. We have a right to partake of them while we're here. Amen. We do. We just have to be careful how we walk. If we're not careful how we walk, we can get into trouble. But you know what? If you get in trouble and you're in the Lord, He can get you out of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, she could have had it. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord's coming on me. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Lord. Boy, I feel the Lord all over me, and when He comes on me, there's direction here, and I'm trying to pick it up. Hallelujah. Oh, Roshi la kiara. Oh, Roshi ke la hiara. Oh, Roshi ke la hiara. Sofarishi obarate. Kina masa fore. Kamasada fore. Who shepherded nete? What is it, Lord? Hallelujah. 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 O rotos. Banak desne de dovela tarushia trovagere. Harre shekere forre shela rete. Nebat nematik en sepere didiata. How long must I speak to you? How long must I encourage you not to fear? How long must I remind you not to be caught up in the small things, those little insignificant things? For I, the Lord, have you in heart and mind. Let them go. Choose peace, not frustration. Choose joy, not fear and discouragement. For I watch over my word to perform it for you. I watch over my word to perform it on your behalf. But you must have it come out of you. You must believe it in your heart. You cannot be estranged from it. You have to be connected to it. It has to be a part of you. For you must believe in your heart and say it with your mouth. For I grieve when you lose. I grieve when you lack. For I have provided so much for you. And when I set you up on a place of victory, do you remember me in the victory? Don't forget that I enjoy seeing my people not only obtain victory, but to give an understanding back to me that I love you and I watch over your heart and life for the very purpose of the worship. You see, my people, many of you right now are in a situation that your mind is trying to get you out of it, when you'd be better off just to lift your hands and worship me and acknowledge my goodness toward you and my love for you. And just in that alone would remove you from what your mind wants to tell you. When you can enter into peace, I will communicate with you. I will talk to you. I will even talk to you until you know or yes. But at those times, they are important for you to take heed to. Because I don't want you to get into a situation that you've moved yourself into and allow me to bail you out. I will lead you out, not bail you out. I am your Father,
And your behavior has to be ordered up by me. And yes, I will lead you out by changing your behavior and make you solid for what's ahead. And people, I want to tell you, rest. Do not be concerned about the prices going up. Do not be concerned about the world economy, because you don't see it from my viewpoint. You are in a beautiful place with me where this downside will be your upside, your advantage. And do not be caught up with unfruitful people in your life. If you know that they don't belong in your presence, then remove them from you if they are not of the kingdom of God. You have no business walking with darkness, but only light. Follow me, for I am the God of light, not darkness. So if you are a child of light, then why are you so confused at your walk? Come into the light, that you may clearly see. And I will bless you with good, fruitful people into your life. And I will lead you into the way of everlasting life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready? You got your bread and your wine. Are you ready? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "Take and eat. This do in remembrance of me." And what he was referring to is his body that was broken on your behalf, so that you as a body with Christ would remain intact through these elements. So if you will, go ahead and take the bread. In the same night also, he took the cup, which represents the shedding of his life. He said, "This is what will cleanse you." His life that was poured out for you in the cup will be your cleansing agent. Your life will be ordered according to his. So let's go ahead and take. Pass your cups to the center of the aisle. There she is. Glad to take them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before the first of the year, the Lord has been speaking to me about some things that by his word, giving some direction. I have to get with my board of directors of the church first. And we're going to give you kind of an outline of what we're going to be doing this coming year. And we'll give it to you before the first of the year. And so to help give you a little direction, I think what I'm going to do is every year go back to that. Remember how we used to do it, John, Callow? Remember we'd give a little brief report to the body. I think we need to get back to that so that we're not all wandering around where we're going, what we're doing. Amen. And the Lord has shared some things with me that I need to share with you as a body, because we go together as a team. Amen. We've got to do some things also with our children's church, our young adults, and so we've got some good things coming. And there are some of you that are sitting on your laurels, and we want to do something about removing that and help you get involved. And our children's church and our young adults, our teens are very important to us. We're looking to do some things there. Tammy is doing an excellent job now of changing the tone of the music, and it's a gradual thing, so we don't run everybody off. But there is a side of Elvis Presley anointing working in her.
I like it. I like what you're doing, Tammy. It's really good. She hasn't shared a whole lot with me, but I like what I see and what she's doing. So that's good. Praise the Lord. Praise and worship is powerful. Amen. And those young people are just as important as us older ones. Amen. I like that. Amen. So we got a lot of good things on the line, and we just got to do them. And so I'll share them with you. Father, stand up. You can stand up this time. You won't be asked to sit down. Those of you that are not cleansed by the communion table, you may remain seated. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the people here, that the hearts that you've spoken to. And Father, as we close this service, there would be anybody here that would like to give their heart and life to Jesus. We would love to minister that to them. If you've never been born again and would like to come into the kingdom of God, we would love to see to it that you would understand what that means. And assist you in coming into the kingdom. And if you are not convinced of your position with God, and you have a fear, and you'd like to confirm your position with Him, you also can come up, and we would love to pray with you. We have altar workers here that will work with you and give you the information that you need. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is vitally important, we can also minister that. And with that said, the rest of you are dismissed. Feel free to come up if I touched an area that's important to you.